Today, in the liturgical year, we honor St. Francis of Assisi. Everybody knows or has heard of St. Francis of Assisi, and they kind of associate St. Francis with the care of animals. So I want to give you a little more background on St. Francis so that you better understand him and his motivation and where it fits into all of our studies in the Lutheran Church. St. Francis is probably one of the most easily recognized but least imitated saints. He was born in 1181, a couple of years ago. Grew up wealthy, only to renounce his family's wealth and devote himself to serving the poor as well as animals. That's what most of us know in a nutshell about St. Francis. However, he was a truly rare individual who recognized that, like Paul in today's scripture, that his riches were loss. Francis went on to found the Franciscan order, which is not simply a Catholic order. It is also used in many other denominations, chiefly Lutheran. There are Lutheran pastors who are members of the Order of Lutheran Franciscans. As a matter of fact, my spiritual director is one of those. Like the deaconess community of the ELCA, of which I am a sister, the Lutheran Franciscans follow closely the disciplines of the Franciscan order. Francis' service to the poor and his love of nature are in many ways the same thing today. Climate change impacts everyone, but no one more than the poor and the marginalized. Often those people cannot escape the impacts of climate change by relocating. We cannot serve the poor without also taking care of creation. It's interesting to note that what I found when I was researching is that Francis was a war veteran and that he suffered from PTSD as we now know it. He was captured and imprisoned in 1202, and during that time of trauma in his life, he came to identify with others in their trauma, opposing warfare and spending time with the poor, with lepers and other outcasts, just like Jesus. It was through his radical service to the poor that he began to find some measure of healing for himself. We can certainly all identify with the need for healing from trauma today. War, famines, systemic racism, the coronavirus pandemic, and of course climate change itself are just some of the traumas we are working through. Right now, way too many of us are on the path of the wicked tenants, sabotaging ourselves by sabotaging all that there is around us. Perhaps, like Francis, Paul, and Jesus himself, we could begin to find healing by turning away from the pursuit of material profit and towards the beauty of God in creation. In looking at today's scripture's lessons, the first lesson, the psalm, and the gospel, all refer to vineyards. And it is, indeed, at this time of year, the season for grape harvest and for winemaking. The three illustrations in the Bible are very different, though, once you acknowledge that they're all about vineyards. In the passage from Isaiah, the Old Testament lesson, the prophet sings a sad, parable-like love song about the relationship between God and Israel. God sowed good vines in Israel, and yet, when the vines were harvested, the grapes were like wild grapes, not worthy of being harvested. Israel constantly sinned against God and then repented when God threatened them. Despite God's loving care, the vineyard that is Israel brought forth wild grapes of injustice and mistrust when fine grapes of justice and righteousness were expected. I recall a garden that Ken and I planted when we, at the last minute, decided to add sweet potatoes to our garden. And we both love sweet potatoes. Ken was having a hard time finding sets because we had waited a little too long. So I was looking for them too, and I found beautiful plants at the Farm Bureau and took them home and planted them. The vines flourished, were absolutely beautiful, but when we were harvesting other things in the fall, Ken dug where we planted the sweet potatoes, only to find that I'd bought ornamental sweet potatoes. You just don't get a whole lot of potatoes from ornamental vines. Learned my lesson. It was not a good harvest for sure. It certainly wasn't worth the time to pull them up. In the psalm, today's psalm, the psalmist implores God to look down from heaven and tend the vine. Vine tending, I will tell you, takes patience because things don't happen quickly. Just like in God's realm, nothing happens quickly. The vine will at times need to be cut back if it becomes diseased, but we have to remember this is a natural development and it's no cause for blame or hand-wringing. Finally, in the gospel text from Matthew, as our reading of the book of Matthew comes to a close at the end of November, we read another parable that Jesus taught the disciples so that they could better prepare for his death. Today's gospel parable is, in some Bibles, given a heading like "The Wicked Tenants." Simplistically, it is the story of a group of renter farmers who abuse the land and abuse their neighbors, even to the point of killing the landlord's son, believing that they will be able to keep all the profits for themselves. Yet ultimately, their abuse of the vineyard and of others is counterproductive, leading to their own miserable death. Like the Pharisees, we need to look inward and ask some hard questions. Are we the new tenants who will produce the fruits of the kingdom? Or are we like the wicked tenants, living beyond our means in ways that destroy everything we touch? like the tenants, whenever we abuse creation, its land, its water, or its people, we abuse ourselves. Jesus established a clear visual contrast between his kingdom of love and humility and that of the Roman Empire. He then used parables to underscore what he wanted the disciples to learn and the choices they would have to make in serving God. We face the same choices today: love and humility toward our neighbors and creation, or continued greed and destruction in the shadow of government and big business. What does it mean to serve and protect creation? I could give you a whole bunch of ideas, and if you're interested, ask me sometime. What we can do right now and leading up to November is to vote our conscience. Go to the polls. Exercise your right to vote. And pressure politicians to act to protect God's precious resources. Those resources are finite, and we need those resources for future generations. At the same time, we need to be sure that our actions are motivated by the right reasons, not by economics or politics, but by faith. Everything we do for creation must have the Creator as its foundation, or it will be rootless and blow away like so much dust in the wind, or when you remove the cornerstone of a building. Francis understood what motivated him, his devotion to his Creator, which led him to treat all as neighbors. We cannot serve the poor and marginalized just because it feels good. We can't go green just for economic reasons. It was when Francis realized that there was something bigger than himself, a God who required his full devotion, that he found joy and began to do things for creation. Saint Francis gave us a wonderful example of life lived in response to God's love. And when we devote ourselves to God in this way, we will find joy, love, and freedom, and the grace to share joy, love, and freedom with all of creation. The poor, the animals, neighbors, friends, and with the earth itself. Amen.